Yeah, we're confined in the house. Occasionally, they let us go out to walk a little bit. And interestingly enough, people recognize you even with your mask on. You think they recognize you because there's that look, you know. Oh, is that doing everything electronically? Facebook Live is doing better because people are more home, so they can actually attend. We have decided to increase communication, to use this time to communicate more with people, with members, with candidates, with local offices, regional offices of the Platform for Progress. This came from our academy that we use to educate future candidates on what it is that they're getting into. And the suggestion was, why don't you just use Zoom? And we switched to Zoom. Because it can, in certain version, up to 100 people, and you see them all. Why don't you use Zoom to meet with people? So that's what we're doing now. We had a really good meeting with the region Sava, River Sava, one of the seven regions. We met with the regional governing board, with the municipality, heads of the municipality boards, and the candidates. And we had about 60 or so, 70 people there. Really good session. And we also bring people from the central office, human resources, the board that governs, that conducts our elections, board that thinks about elections strategically, the team for communications and marketing, heads of the members of the president, of the governing board of Platform for Progress. Anyway, like a big forum, like a big town hall meeting, but it's done electronically. And that's where people ask questions. We use the opportunity to lift them up a little bit, but then ask them what the issues are, what the concerns are, why we don't have more candidates, what the problem is. So we have first Sava, then we talked to young people. They asked for it, young people. They wanted to know about their candidacy, and we asked them, why is it that you don't? Why is it that we are not seeing more young candidates within the Platform for Progress to run in the next election? Then we had Bosna, another river, another region, and we had 85 people there. Then we had Neretva, yet another region, Neretva, River Neretva. We had 45 people. It's a smaller region. Friday, I actually opened it up. We, on our Facebook, said the first 100 people who sign up to talk to Mirsad Hadzikari, president of Platform for Progress, you are welcome. You can do that by sending us an email and registering for the event. So I'm gonna just talk to the population once a week, invite another 100 people and talk to it. I wish I could go more, but the next version of Zoom is much more expensive. I cannot afford it, but I could have had 500 people, which would be really great, 300, 500 people. So that's really what's happening. We had the very, very exciting version as meeting session of the governing board, which we meet every Thursday night. Why was it exciting? It was because the team for communications and marketing presented their idea for the campaign slogan, and everybody loved it. Of course, I cannot tell you because it's secret. I don't want to our opponents find out before it's due, before we announce it. But everybody got really excited about that. Unlike the last time when we had no idea 2 weeks before the elections what the slogan should be, we have one now. And we're gonna start now. We started thinking. We just formed the board for election strategy, the ones who will think about the main strategy. We already put in place the committee for implementing the election strategy. We have had a team for communications for a long time. I have become more active in recording daily, sometimes every other day, video, short videos, 1, 2, 3 minutes on some issue. And that we decided to even boost a little bit, so through Facebook, so that it gets to more people. While this is all happening, while the country is experiencing some bizarre events, there was, obviously, you know about the need for respirators in the country. And Federatia entity decided to purchase, to set aside 100,000, whatever, euros, don't even know the amount, to purchase some of them. Actually, no, not 100, it's about in millions to buy a certain number of them. So 80 of those respirators arrived about 7 days ago. 10 days ago, the Prime Minister of the Federation was at the airport to wait for the cargo plane to arrive from China to meet and greet me on television, see what I'm doing to get the respirators for the good people of Bosnia and Herzegovina, only to find out, newspapers find out, the journalists, that first of all, who ordered those was a company that, an agriculture company. They produce fruit. There are laws and regulations that define who can order medical equipment, who can purchase. Now, under these exceptional conditions, many procedures have been suspended. It's like this crisis management board can do anything and everything. They decided to give a contract for that. Not to a regularly registered company that can purchase medical equipment, but to somebody who actually produces fruit. Happens to be that that's a well-known TV personality that's close to the governing party. They purchased wrong respirators, those who go into ambulance, not in the hospital rooms. The next thing, they're not licensed to do those things. Then it seemed that they made millions on that because it seems that they paid 100,000 km for each respirator, where the best of them could cost 60,000, so they would pocket 40,000 per. And now everybody's investigating. It wasn't even being used for 2 weeks. Was sitting at the airport because somebody didn't pay the tax on it, the custom on it. It became obvious that these governing nationalist parties are using this crisis to give money to each other to prepare the elections. They're getting this loan from the International Monetary Fund to support people who they like, not even defining who will return the loan back. Not even defined. We don't even know who needs it. Do we need actually them? It is amazing that in the country as corrupt as Bosnia and Herzegovina is, there is no depth of corruption. There is no level of corruption that they will not reach at the expense of the people, in front of them, even denying anything that's happening. Simply, well, that's not true. Everything was followed as could have, should have been. Journalists have all the questions. Well, you journalists, why don't you leave that to those who know, who are qualified to deal with this situation. Anyway, the country is total mess. There will be winners and losers. And those who were very critical of the government, of those who were leading the situation, who were actually managing the crisis, those who are really critical of them, they will benefit because people here are really uneducated, politically very illiterate. They don't know constructive criticism from populistic ranting. At the same time, this one person organizes owners of small companies into one Facebook group, and then society now, they are very vocal. The corona law is being proposed, but nearly not enough. Everybody's attacking the federation, the entity, for introducing law that cannot really work, put the economy back on its feet. We had a session. We are trying to be constructive, just offering solutions, not attacking anybody. That doesn't work really well for the, as an election strategy. You have to have negative attitude to succeed in anything, but we will not do it. We had meetings of our what we call the state board, the board that talks about long-term big issues, and it was a great session on energy. The next one will be on the financial situation of the country. Our expert team started working, gelling really well, responding with their own advices. Offering their own advice to the government, saying, well, if it were us, if we were in your position, we would have done this, or we would do this. Anyway, one interesting thing, I'll just talk about anything and everything, apologize for this. One interesting thing, when we had the session with young people, and the question is, why is it that more of you have not come forward with the and volunteer to run for an office? Because we talk about the young people all the time, we are talking about giving them a chance, and now when we gave them a chance, so there are three members of them, three representatives of youth in the governing body of the Platform for Progress, we are asking them to come forward, and we'll support as many of them as possible. They are not coming in large numbers, so we asked why. And one of them at that session said, you know what, I'm bothered with the issue of competence. You are talking about, our core principles are country first, competency, skills, education, integrity, honesty, and young people, youth. How can we be young and competent at the same time? That was his question. How can we be young? I said, well, come on. We are not saying you have to know everything day one. We just want you to have the right attitude. Put the society first, not yourself. Don't steal. Know something. Well, you are a student. You are in college. You just finished college. You know something. You have the field. You know how to think. You have some knowledge of your discipline. You know how to think. You'll know to find the right people. Plus, you are going for to be city council member. There's also part of it, you'll be educated one issue at a time. It's important that you know how to do problem solving, how to be honest, and how to ask for the right advice, aggregate it, then vote on a certain issue. You think anybody was really born with solutions for everything? No, but you have to have courage. Go ahead, and you will learn through this process. And come on, start, we will prepare you, we'll work with you, we have this academy, we'll give you some materials, we'll put mentors around you, we'll push you. But that shocked us. It wasn't like, I'm afraid. It was not, I don't have time. It was not, I don't care. But it was, will I perform well enough? Which is great that they're asking them, because nobody else is asking. They just want the money that comes with that position in the Congress or wherever, in the parliament, city council, because they're all paid. So that's all people want. They don't even care, can I do it? our young people are saying we are concerned we would not be able to do. But that question, it was really interesting. It floored me because I never thought about it. Can a young person be competent in the sense of professionally competent? You know, basically they're saying we don't have experience. Is it required? It was interesting. It was a really cool session. A lot of good ideas came from all sessions, and we will continue. So we'll continue with them. So one more positive thing with this corona pandemics, it is that we are now talking more to people throughout the organization than we have before. And finally, after a long hiatus from the public media or public eye, I was at N1, that's national TV, in the morning yesterday. They asked me about anything and everything, how Bosnia-Herzegovina is doing with the pandemics, what do you think about this corruptive behavior? Will there be elections? What are the main issues that facing Bosnia-Herzegovina? What would you have done differently if you were in charge? And it was actually cool. We're not long, 17 minutes, but it was, I liked the person who asked the questions, and it was not prepared list, and she would ask questions regardless of what I said. She would ask her questions. No, it wasn't like that. She was actually trying to listen to my answers and then formulate the next question based on what I was talking about. Sorry, that was rambling, but I was just trying to figure out what. I forgot about political advisory council. There were some really issues that we were facing. There was one member who basically, after there was a request for us to come up with a press release. It was a day of the Bosnian army. That was a day of the Bosnian army, Bosnia-Herzegovinian army. The one that was in the war, defended Bosnia-Herzegovina, that subsequently stopped being because it got reformed by taking members of all three sides, regardless of whether they were fighting against each other, whatever. They were, each of them have their own unit, but they put under one umbrella. So there's a new Bosnia-Herzegovinian army. But this was the day of the old one, that the one actually got established in the war and defended the country. And we wanted to actually issue a press release congratulating on defending the country and welcoming this new army that was established and after the new constitution got put in place. But there were some members of the political party, those of the political council, those members who actually live in Republika Srpska, the other entity, who basically said, regardless of what we think, or one person, regardless of what I think, if you want to be successful in the Republika Srpska, this is not a way of doing it. You will not endear yourself to many Serbs in the Republika Srpska if you start celebrating or recognizing one of the three armies. And we said, yeah, but the other two wanted to split the country. This one was defending the integrity, unity, and it had Bosniaks and Serbs and Croats and others in within their ranks. Yeah, I know, but that was still just one side. And we had really interesting a long discussion that again, just like other questions, got to the core of who we are. Can you have principles when one side says, well, it's fine, but if you say that, you will not have any followers in the other part of the country and you need to be there? So what do you do? I modified slightly that press release, but I actually decided that was on me, and in the end to decide yes or no. So I decided to publish it but try to change the wording so it's not too offensive to one side yet to celebrate the other. Anyway, so you got, you face every day some kind of tough decisions.
Okay.
That's fine.
Well, and you've touched upon it quite a bit, and actually you answered one of my previous questions in terms of your outreach. I know you were out so much with the town hall meetings in person and everything. I would assume it's refreshing to be able, with this new approach, to start engaging more with the populace, and it's got to be good for them too. I mean, it's a new way of connecting.
I love this way of connecting because it gives some order to the session, and I tell them you have to raise your hand electronically, and it provides the order in which they raise their hands. And so their meetings are much more orderly than they normally are when people start asking questions. Everybody wait for their turns. And I tell them, I have the power to mute you all. We click on one button, so behave. And they do. And so everybody gets a chance to ask a question, and you immediately see somebody who hogs the time and talks a lot. People start commenting, hey, stop that, and because there's a chat session, and you see that somebody raised their hand three times, and then you can now pick them and you pick others, and it's so interesting. I miss that personal contact, but this is actually a good way of still conducting. We will go back to the other way, but nobody knows what it's going to look like, whether the physical distance will still be in place, whether people will be afraid, what about masks, we'll see. But the Central Electoral Commission actually speaking of whether there will be an election in October. They had a session today, and it seems like they've decided that there is no support for postponing the elections. But the parliament has not set aside the money for the elections, and therefore they cannot start the process without the money. And they are saying that might delay us, not anything else. But I think there will be an election in October, and we just have to go through the motion, get ready as we can.
Sure. Well, is there, and I know in the past, before the coronavirus, you were often making trips to neighboring countries for appearances. Has there been any way to incorporate this new virtual outreach for some of those meetings, or have they just kind of been set aside for now?
Corporate outreach, you mean for...
Or just your outreach, in general, where you would be asked to go to Denmark or Switzerland or something to speak to the diaspora.
Right. Everything is stopped. Everything. There's no... The whole Europe is blocked. I hear that Lufthansa is now booking tickets to the U.S. For mid-May and beyond. But no, there's no outreach at all. Everything is because there's so much uncertainty in every country, in every society, in every city, every village. There is really, 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 really nothing. So there are two things that are happening. Now, our internal organization that we get ready for the elections, that we get organized. The other one is somehow stay in the public eye, and we try to do that with those press releases and creating our YouTube channel, offering lectures. But we will suffer because of this, because others are constantly in the news, whether they are governing or they are in opposition. They have access to the media to talk about either defending policies or attacking policies. Since we are not participating in terms of governing at any level of government, we don't have access to the media. So we will actually be doing worse than we hoped for in terms of accessing citizens, getting to them with our message. So we're looking forward to any kind of easement in terms of these measures that govern the ability to move around, to become aggressively opening ourselves to meeting all the anybody and everybody, and as much as we can, traveling, but of course obeying all the rules of engagement. There are other perks, like I received our info email address received a request from somebody in the Emirates, a Bosnian in the Emirates, United Arab Emirates, basically asked me about my take on vaccination and digitalization or of the world, and getting more and more, almost or being dominated by the digital aspect of our lives and digital identity and all of those things. And there are so many conspiracy theories around the 5G and everything, and this one was particularly focused on the vaccination. And I didn't want to answer via email, because you say one thing, they say another, and escalates. I said, I would really prefer to talk. Schedule the conversation with another platform that I never heard of, but they apparently used over there. Had a conversation with that lady today, very interesting. I would have never had that opportunity. Very interesting conversation. She's genuinely concerned about vaccination because she had a kid who reacted really in a bad way to one of the previously scheduled vaccines. And she's concerned about this, you must do this approach. And it was not really at all conspiracy theory. It was somebody who thinks for herself, very reasonable person, had a personal experience, and had certain fears, somehow got stoked even more with all these conspiracy theories. But that conversation was enlightening, and she basically asked me how would I react in a certain situation. And from that initiative came probably an idea for another law that I would like to propose if and when I get to some kind of an office where I could make a difference. Anyway, so those are things that would have never happened had it not been for Corona.
Well, just one other one, and I know the answer, but I'm going to ask anyway. But in terms of the frustration level, because each week you talk about the corruption and something else crazy that's happened within the government, do you allow yourself to get frustrated with the fact that there's really not a lot that you can do, but you certainly would like to be saying more? And does the populace in general get what's going on, or is it just a matter of accepting this is the way it is?
Great question. There is some degree of frustration that you think you have something to say, but there's no platform for saying it that would that a lot of people would hear about. And then there's not much you can do about it. Just do whatever you can. Whether the general population understands it, when you read the social media reporting and comments, yes, a lot of people are just frustrated. But when you hear news reports, people are aware of what is happening, on the one hand. On the other hand, There is that resignation again. No, nothing can be done. That's them. They are crooks. They do it, and they have all the power. And the international community continues to talk to them, which discourages everybody. How can you talk to the crooks? Don't you see? Can't you see you're talking? One of them, member of the presidency, is on the blacklist in the United States. Yes, the United States ambassador is talking to him about the International Monetary Fund loan. So, yes, people are seeing, educating, they are behaving well because they follow the rules because of the fear. But I don't see any movement for them to actually do something about it, which is even more frustrating. How can you do nothing? How can you even think that you cannot do anything? Anyway, it's the degree, the level of resignation that's dominant in the country is is caring. Yeah.
And just the last final one, just you and the family are still, other than cabin fever, everyone's well and safe. I know people want to hear from you.
Yeah, it is, we're doing fine, we're doing well. Use that opportunity whenever we can go out to walk as much as we can. Today is my grandson's birthday, Tariq, and it is going to be a Zoom celebration. Of course, that was
wonderful.
Planned. It was sixth birthday. It was a big fiesta was planned. We all were supposed to be there, relatives, friends in the U.S. at the park, at their house. And instead, we will do it via Zoom. Somehow, we're able to send money so that they buy the gifts. But it's going to be sad, really. I mean, I would love to see his bright face and smiling face, but at the same time, it's going to be really sad that you're not there.